Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. Welcome to those of you in the chat room, on the switchboards, in the archives, all around the world. International media right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to our very, very special weekly Wednesday midweek motivator. World traveler, author, speaker, oh my God, businessman, entrepreneur, father, husband, Mr. Vertzi Walker. Welcome. How are you?
Doing great. And how about yourself?
Oh, I am excited and just thankful, just grateful for another opportunity to live my dream. I tell you, it's been a whirlwind, and I know it has been one for you as well, and the people have been blessed and excited all week long, and here we are, Wednesday, middle of the week. I know you got something special for us today.
You know, I'm hoping so, but I've been checking you out. I mean, one, I'm liking this excitement and enthusiasm in your voice because I can hear it. But I'm looking at your post here, and you're doing a lot of great things. I mean, Rutgers, you got the Releasing Your Inner Power coming up. You have this conference, this, that, and the other. Please tell us about it. Please tell us about it. You got it going on.
Well, you know what? It's just a matter of, you know, I learned something a long time ago that said, you know, you just have to let it evolve, you know. It just happens, you know, you're going along, you're working, you're putting in the work, you're getting prepared, you're, you know, meeting people, you're networking, you're doing all the little things. You know, it's a despise not small beginnings. And so you do, and you were there with the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference, and, you know, yeah, that was great and wonderful, but, hey, 10 years ago we did that conference and or something very similar, and there were two people, you see, but we kept plugging away. And so, yes, you're right, then the opportunity presented itself to be at Rutgers University, but it did not come absent that discovery of tapping into your dreams, your hidden talents. That's what it's all about, Mr. Walker. That is the key. I believe that's the key.
There you go. There you go. Well, again, I'm happy for you and I'm proud for you. as usual, I intend to anticipate and will be there to support you and not only make your dream come, you know, further or come true, but to watch it evolve, because this is a blessing. It's a great opportunity to see that and to know that someone such as yourself has so much passion. And I love your intro this morning as it relates to me, because, one, you were talking about me, but honestly, when I look back and I fold that back on you, you know, a wife, a sister, an aunt, a friend, a confidant, businesswoman, author, four times over, do we hear five? And an employee, as well as an employer, and all the things that you're doing, and it could be exasperating for most, but because you're so fixed and you're so focused and you're so on target, but I think more importantly because you're covered in the covenant, you're covered in the blood, but also that you know that you're on purpose. So you don't get tired. You don't get exhausted because, you know, again, the journey is so fantastic in every twist and turn. You're learning, you're meeting, you're greeting, and you're expanding who you probably thought you were and seeing who you really are. So, again, I commend you.
Well, you know what? It's so funny that you would mention that because I think what happened was I read the book, Release Your Power. It's a strategy for becoming who you really are. And as I was writing that book, I was metamorphosing at the same time. You see, becoming the very thing that I was teaching in that book.
Correct.
You know what I mean? The same thing for you. Success, how I ended up here. And I'm sure each and every day you end up somewhere. You're like, okay, how did I end up here? How did I end up on T.J. Walker's television show? How did I end up in the Ronald Reagan airport? Not once, not twice, but, you know, multiple times. How did I end up at this expo and that, you know, how do we end up? And here's the thing that we need people to know, you know, is that it's so much more room. It's so much more room. There's enough room. Put it like this. This is the way I like to put it. There's enough room for everybody who wants to get there.
Yeah, yeah. And the great thing about it.
If you want to get there, there's enough room for you.
There is. And
but
what
for
I realize,
don't, the only one is back and say, I wish I could have, would have, should have, there's
right.
no room for them.
There
but for
go.
The person who wants to get there, the universe will make room for you. And not only that, the moment you begin to speak it, it will usher you there. You know, I realize that there is power that lies within us, but there's also power outside of us, because when you get around people like yourself, you have power. When I get around people like Mr. Paul, who is all the way in Japan, might I add, who is tuned in today, listening to the show from Japan.
Wow.
You see, when we get around people like that, when we get around people like Mr. J. Early in Germany and Mr., you know, Cuba Mita up there in Canada and people all around the world, now I'm talking to people in India, you see, there's power within us. But there's a lot of power outside of us.
Mm. Well, I agree.
That is, isn't that something? So
No, I was just saying, you're right. There's no excuse. There's no reason why we can't achieve what we want on whatever level if, you know, we can just put that into our mind and have that faith. And I had to discover something, and probably was more recent than not, where any time there's a word behind a business or in front of a business that's called industry. So the telecom industry, the motorcycle industry, the housing industry, anytime they use that word industry, it is a multi-million dollar, if not a billion dollar opportunity. So there's the weight loss industry, that's a billion dollar industry. And they want your money extremely bad, but more importantly, because it's an industry, you can actually see where you fit in, that you can get a hold of some of that money and some of that opportunity. In the music industry, everyone wants to be on stage, but there are writers, there are managers, there are handlers, there are publishers. There's so many layers when it comes to an industry. You don't realize that some of your talents and skill sets can fit you or wedge you in so snugly that you can make an earnest, good living by just putting your mind in the right place, because when it's an industry, you can make millions upon millions of dollars just doing what you do every day, but maybe even enjoying it more because now you're in the right industry that your skill sets are enhanced and you may be working less and receiving more of the blessing. And so I just had, you know, I just had to educate myself. Like, wait a minute. And when it says industry, I had to go back. I had to look at the auto industry, the oil industry. I had to look at all these. I'm like, those are multi-million, if not billion-dollar industries. So anytime the word industry is attached to it, you can all. So we're in, right now in the information industry and in the public speaking and the author. It's a billion-dollar industry. I don't know a billion-dollar author. Well, I'm sorry, I do. The lady who wrote Harry Potter, she's a billionaire. She's a billionaire from her writings and from her royalties and from all of her rights. But the industry is so big. I mean, you have writers, ghost writers, you have publicists, you have media contact. There's so many different layers to this industry that folks can get in here and enjoy a great living, whether it's this industry or another. But we have to keep, you know, wrap our mind around it when, you know, we're the only one who may have a cell phone in our family 15 years ago, but that's an industry, the telecom industry. And look where it's at today. Look where the opportunities are today. They're vast. And so we can't sleep on that as people. And as you said, there's more room at the top. There's more room for all. It's the bottom that's crowding, y'all. We got to change where we lay our intentions and then put our focus in the direction, because your feet don't go backwards. Your feet only go in the direction where you put it. You know, you can force it to go backwards, but the more comparable move is to move forward. So if you put it in whatever direction you want to go, left, right, up, or down, your feet will carry you.
That's right. That's right. And carrying us is exactly what, and you know, and the thing is, there's momentum once you get started. You know, you keep going, and you just begin to get negative people out of your way. I've also found that focusing on our strengths, let the weaknesses take care of themselves. Okay, put that extra energy in the strength, because then as you become stronger, you will have more energy. But a lot of people, I've noticed, they do a lot of draining types of behaviors during their day, like negative thinking, hanging around negative people. And then they end up so drained that they do not have the energy to do the things that they really want to do. And that is very sad. You know, that's what I want to teach people. Yes, I want to teach people how to focus on the positive no matter what situation you're in. And as a matter of fact, my message for Rutgers University is from shame to your A game. And I'm so excited about that message, Mr. Walker. I'm almost like a kid at Christmas. I can't wait to share that with people. But, you know, we're just having fun, and, you know, you can really make this thing fun. So I know you have an awesome topic. Now, one thing, I do have an announcement that I have to give about an event that's coming up. So I want to, why don't I do it now before we get started? Would that be okay?
Sometimes I get carried away, so please go ahead.
This is for the women. It's an international women's conference. It's going to take place this Thursday, the 21st, through Saturday, the 22nd. It is being, the host is Dr. Stephanie Arrington, and they can get in touch with Ms. Betty Horton at 973-534-1053. They have powerful dynamic speakers on Thursday night and Friday night. The workshops will start at 7:30 p.m. They will have a choir. They're both nights, a gospel choir. It's the William Patterson Gospel Choir, and the director of that choir is Professor Michael Butler, for those of you who know him. Their theme is, get this powerful theme, their theme is amplifying your destiny with purpose, power, productivity, and prosperity. Now, they're going to have on-site registration, and this is going to take place at the Hamilton Park Hotel and Conference Center, located at 175 Park Avenue. That's in Flom Park, New Jersey. So again, that's the International Women's Conference, and their theme is Amplifying Your Destiny with Purpose, Power, Productivity, and Prosperity. There are loads of dynamic speakers. On Saturday, you're going to get all-day workshops starting at 9 a.m. Also, you're going to have a banquet also on Saturday. Saturday is, they have a youth forum. They have a free youth forum. Get your youth out. Get them empowered. Set them straight early in life. Get them on their way so that they can have less opportunities to make some of the mistakes that we all wish we had not made had we known a little bit more. So, again, get in touch with Betty Horton, 973-534-1053, or you can contact me if you didn't get all that information. So, yes, wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, y'all, it's Wednesday. This is Midday Motivation with Mr. Versi L. Walker. Oh, my God, I know he's got an awesome topic, so I'm going to step out of the way right now, turn it over to you, Mr. Walker. And, again, welcome each and every one of you who are tuned into the show today. And we'll be back at the end of the show. But you can take it away now, Mr. Walker.
Thank you so much. And, again, good morning, everyone. I'm hoping that everyone is having an exciting week and experiencing a lot of joy and prosperity, even though it's just Wednesday. And I know we keep going back to, you know, midweek inspiration. Lalisa, she's doing it every day. And I try to come in to add a different spin, a different caveat to, you know, what the week, you know, for me looks like, or what the week should look like for most people, or some of the experiences that I know a lot of us are going through during this time. And, again, I use the midweek as the 12 o'clock hour in the day, or maybe even the midweek in your life, where you're now at the latter part of your years and you're wondering what you can be doing differently, what should you have done, and what is maybe available for you. I know we talked about 2 weeks ago about the season and the change in the season, and I'm standing again in my office here, and it's just now starting to become daylight, and it's almost 7:30 in the morning. And I start to think, you know, the leaves are falling, they're changing colors. I'm looking at the sky and the landscape. I'm envisioning the snow that I may have to shovel real soon. And also I'm thinking about the fun and fantastic time I anticipate having with my family and friends for the holiday season. But there's others who may not experience that this year for whatever reason, separation, loss, depression, frustration, financial strife, may prevent people from excelling and accepting and enjoying this season. And it happens every year. And for me, as a father, as a business owner, and as a man, I'm starting to maybe realize that more so than ever before. I'm paying more attention to it because I'm in the latter part of my years. I may have a good another 50 or 60 more to go, but, you know, some of the younger days are behind me, even though my mind doesn't believe that. My body tells me you can't do that anymore. And it frustrates me in a lot of ways because if you know anything about me, you know that I'm just happy and I'm encouraged and I'm appreciative simply just to be alive, because there were certain times and days when that wasn't guaranteed or it wasn't certain, because of accidents or incidents and some reckless behavior that could have prevented or hindered my mobility, my growth, my agility in my life. So I'm just thankful. I'm appreciative, and I'm happy just to be alive. And it takes me back to last week watching the Chilean miners as they were being rescued, and they were pulling these miners up one after the other. And the sensationalism kind of tapered off around the, I think, 10 or 12th person. So the hurrahs and the screams weren't as loud. But, again, there were, you know, maybe 10 people before them that had 3 to 5 or 20 people waiting on them to come up to emerge from to the surface. And looking at that, I became overjoyed because those men didn't have to survive. See, people don't realize in China alone about 86% of the mining incidents, they do not make it out alive. That's a high percentage. I don't know anyone who wants to go to work and realize that they have an 86% probability of failure, an 86% probability of death. Even when me and my wife got married in 1999, in the 90s, it was a 50% survival rate for marriages. That was too high for me, so I was trying to push it over to 2000. But my wife was determined that we were going to get married in 1999. You proposed to me in this year, we're getting married in this year. But I was concerned, again, with the probabilities and the high rate of failure. So now at 86%, if that's the case, most people wouldn't even put on their clothes to go out there. It just wouldn't be worth it. However, these men, they do it because they have a focus. They have a dream. They have a desire to do something better for their family. And if it means risking their lives in pursuit of their dreams, they're willing to do it. So I was very much overjoyed in seeing that. Now, I can only imagine what the past 30-something-odd days were for these gentlemen in a tight environment. I think it was 400 square feet. I don't think it was that big. It might have been smaller than that. But you got over 30 men down there. The leader immediately, when he realized they were trapped, he rationed the food by day two. A spoonful of tuna and I think a small sip of drink, he immediately went into survival mode. He immediately took whatever training, whatever initiative, whatever inkling of an idea, and he put it to action immediately. See, so many of us right now are in survival mode, but we're running scared. We're scattered. We don't have a plan. But this gentleman created a plan instantaneously on the spot. I don't know how many people know this, but for the first, I think, 15 to 17 days down underground, none of these men even knew whether or not people up above were searching for them, realized or believed that they were even still alive. But they kept the faith. Is there anything like us Christians here on the phone, on the call, on the archive? We know about keeping faith. But I had to really think about the resilience of these men. See, we sometimes move in with a family member or friend and say we're only going to be here for a few months until we get on our feet. And within the first 2 weeks, we realize that was a mistake. They got to get out of here. They're eating up all our food. They just laying on the couch. They're talking about they're looking for a job, but they ain't going nowhere. This ain't working. But these guys couldn't escape one another. But they weren't down there killing one another either. They were exercising. They were chanting. They were praying together. And that amount of faith moved mountains. See, there's a certain kind of faith that, you know, is based on facts. You know, I have faith because I see you doing it. Then there's the other kind of faith that they believe, and then they see. They believe that ground would open up and allow them to escape out. They believe that they kept up their routine long enough or until they couldn't do it no more. See, they didn't give up. They didn't give up day 15. They didn't give up day 20. And when they saw that camera come down and that light come down, and those men, I thought they were on a picnic. They were having a good time. In spite of their circumstances. And see, so many of us have the freedom to roam. We can go to the library if we choose to. We can go visit our kids at their school. We could do so many things. But many of us are trapped, just like those miners in the cave. It proved to me, and I know maybe some of those guys the day before this incident, they may have been feeling like giving up on life. You know, this is not worth it. But it just showed me, and I realized that nobody really wants to die. Their ability to do what they did for as long as they did shows me that we have instinctual survival mechanisms inside of us, that in the worst of times, in the worst of conditions, we still want life. And those guys showed me that. They showed me more so even the value of life. Because each one of those men, so scientific scientific discovery showed years ago that the average size man is worth $6 million. So they looked at the molecules, the body structure, everything, and tried to come up with a dollar amount. The average size person is worth $6 million. So some of us on average size, so some of us are worth $9 million or more. It seems like we have to put in perspective of a dollar amount for us to realize the value and the worth of a human being, and it shouldn't be. Your existence should show. Who you belong to should show. See, it's funny, if I have a 1979 Corvette and its book value is $10,000, that's all they're going to give me. But if my name is Elvis Presley, George Bush, or some other famous person with that same model car, for some reason the value increases and now that car sells for $100,000. It's the same Corvette. The value is actually not placed on the car, it's placed on the owner that gives it more value. I'm not sure if we understand that. Let me give you another example. My handkerchief that I carry inside of my jacket may have cost me all but $5. But now give that same handkerchief to President Barack Obama, and now something should happen, and he's selling that or he's passing that on. That same $5 handkerchief may go for $25,000 on an auction block. Why? It's the same material, same one. Mine has my sweat, his has his sweat, but the perceived value is placed not on the item itself, but on its owner. And so those men's value were placed very high because of their owner being the high almighty God, because that faith of a mustard seed in the time of strife, in the time of challenging despair, proved to be far more stronger than any other force, larger than the gaping hole that they fell into that then almost collapsed on top of them. And people don't realize what we have inside of us, the resilience. See, people want to talk about the situation. They want to discuss their problems. They want to share it at the water coolers. They want to call up their girlfriend and, you know, do you know what this kid did? Do you know what this, I have this, and can you, we can't keep talking about the problem. We got to talk to the problem. I didn't realize that mom and them praying for you to get off drugs, mom and them praying for you to have a better life and for you to come out of your embryonic mentality and stand up to be that woman or man or that great person that you can be, that helps. It opens up the door for those prayers to go up. But until you speak to that problem, till you speak in a definitive, determined way to resolve your situation, your mountain won't be moved. Maybe people don't understand what I'm saying. Until I made a decision to lose weight and I talked to my problem and I stopped praying about it and got busy making a plan and a determined focus and a drive to eradicate what had seemed like a lifelong problem and stop saying, well, mom and them have obesity. On my dad's side, they're overweight. I'm prone to this. Yeah, I'm predisposed to gaining and maintaining weight if I don't eat right and exercise. Right now, that is a great problem of the great majority of Americans today. It didn't used to be, but with the processing of food, with inability to move or become mobile, you know, now more people have that same predisposition. But when people pray, oh, man, I hope you lose weight, when I prayed and just prayed about it, nothing ever happened. But when I spoke to that mountain, when I spoke to that obstacle, you are no longer welcomed here. When we go and tell the drug that is plaguing our neighborhoods, our children, our family, you are no longer welcome here. It would dissipate. Believe me what I tell you. The man or woman who says, you know what, I'm no longer going to be confined to this wheelchair, I will walk again, they for some reason do, because they spoke to that mountain, to that obstacle letting them know you are no longer welcome here. If you're having a perceived failure in your business and in your relationship, talk to that mountain. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about the rent going up. Don't talk about the slow traffic. Don't talk about the other economic catastrophes that are going on in the world around you. Talk to your mountain and let that situation, that person, that individual, that item know they're no longer welcomed here. You brought up a good point about the negative draining aspect of individuals' lives, Coach. It is on a daily basis. By the time you get home at 5 o'clock, you are so exasperated you might as well have been a miner and worked 12 to 18 hours a day, because negative, toxic thinking and behavior are so adverse to the well-being and the health of each and every one of us. I know, Coach, much like me, you are desperately seeking and wishing for everyone to have a healthier, happier, and more prosperous life. And it's available. It's in our midst. But I find that nothing happens to you, even though it happens around you, until it happens through you. You can have holiness around you. You can have the gospel spoken around you. It can be thrown at you. But until those words reverberate through your soul and happen through you, you are unaffected. You are unaffected. So again, until we start speaking to these mountains of debt, mountains of depression, mountains of fear, we will never overcome and excel to the level of greatness that we were intended for. See, people always say God makes no mistakes when he created one of us. The better part about that is that we are custom fit and custom built. There are only one of us. So when I say that you're worth $6 million and then some, and then that you're the only one and that nobody could do what you do but you, you should walk every day now proud with your shoulders put back and looking forward, because that's where you want to go in life, forward. When people see you, they should spread out of your way, because your wingspan is so large that they can't even get near you. They should want to follow you, because people who believe and perceive that you're successful will follow you to the end of the earth. But if you're too busy following others or don't have anybody worth following, there's a problem with your circle and your network of friends. It's funny, I was at a function and Al Sharpton was there and he spoke. And he talked about how many people he eulogized and how many people he had an influence on and those who had influence on him. And some of the people that he has been around that we're familiar with have since passed on. And many of those, he's actually eulogized their funeral. And people come to him all the time now saying, wow, you did such a great eulogy. I want you to do my funeral. And he said, okay, no problem. He said, but you got to give me something to talk about. You got to give me something to speak on. I can't be sitting up there saying all these great and wonderful things about you and your spouse, and including you, may come up out that, you know, casting and say, who are you talking about? I ain't did none of those things. He said, you got to do something. Be about something. Give back to something. Become somebody worthy of a great eulogy. Because, see, we're writing our eulogy every single day. What is yours saying about you? What will people say about you? How many people will show up to say wonderful things, to let everyone know how your life touched them and what your life meant to others? So, again, those minor situations was, again, liberating and inspiring, a great humane act, a heroic effort to save these men's lives that would have impacted and affected hundreds of others, families, friends, etc. But even as liberating as this was, as encouraging as this was, unfortunately, I was not able to celebrate very long. See, for me, things changed very quickly. When I was forced to face what has now become an all too much of a recurring theme within our neighborhoods and in our communities, when I had to witness on the news another senseless killing of African-American men. The story I'm referring to is the recent shooting at the Pace University of a football player who was shot to death by police officers right after a homecoming game here in New York. Why is it that it seems like there's a policy, shoot first and ask questions later, when it comes to our youth and our children? Why is it that there's such an adverse reaction to what black kids do as opposed to non-African-American kids? Why is it that when we ride four in a car, we shouldn't have our baseball cap on, no swerving, not loud music, when other nationalities can ride four or five deep in a car coming from a football game, a basketball game, going to Susie's house, whatever? And the perception is not the same. The behavior may be, but the resulting actions are never the same. And I know there could be a lot of argument to the contrary, but so often, more than not, there's not enough emphasis for restraint when it comes to the value of black lives. Why is it that when we're watching these cop shows, I have seen it played over and over again to the point where I won't even watch them anymore. If they pull over an erratic, driving, behaving individual, he or she happens to be Caucasian, they could be inebriated, they could be intoxicated, they can just be downright angry. The officers use every, and again, they deploy every effort to restrain the individuals without force. They want to draw their weapons. They want to toss them down. You know what, have a seat. You know, sit in the car, sit on the ground, you know, just let me do my job and you can be on. But when it comes to African Americans, I've seen it too often, they draw first and then ask questions later. They restrain them in such a manner, lay down on your face, put your hands behind your back, I'm going through your car. Any deplorable act to demean that individual during that time of investigation or arrest, it is unacceptable. We, again, have value and worth, and we must realize that. And I know sometimes in our haste and our anger, we just shoot off and charge off, and we don't say the right thing. We don't ask the right questions. We don't let them know that you're violating our rights, because sometimes we don't even know we have these rights. How unfortunate. But we need to make a difference in our lives, and we're willing to stand 2 to 5 days at a Walmart to buy the next Wii game or Tickle Me Elmo to say that we love someone for Christmas. Darn near losing our mind and our dignity, we need to stand just as strong and just as tall for the youth of today who are being targeted in such a manner. They're being massacred in the middle of the streets. And we'll protest on other issues across the globe, save the whales. What happened in Katrina? What happened in other countries? And again, that's great, but what are we doing on our own doorstep? Because these are plaguing us around the world, and it's just not in my community. It's in your community as well. And if we think these kids are throwaways, we are sadly mistaken. If you believe that your kid is an honor student and they're on the right track and they're doing great things, better believe me, at some point in time, they may have to interact with these same individuals that we're considered throwaways, either at the Walmart counters, at the bus stops, at the train. And if we're not better prepared, our kids could succumb to the wishes of those individuals if they're not admirable. But if these people are shown a better way to act and to carry themselves, we can still be hopefully optimistic that that is our future, that those individuals can make a difference. But we got to make a difference. We got to believe in that. Because, see, for me, these kids that I'm talking about, the helpless victims and the ones that we're considered throwaways, None of those kids ever let me down. None of them have ever disappointed me. I believe I've let them down. I believe I've disappointed them. When we can't reach one to teach one, when we can't let them know better by showing them better, when we're out there pursuing our dreams and doing what we want to do, but we avoid hiring them, we avoid talking to them, we avoid letting them know you're going to be okay. I believe that has a problem. I believe that is a problem. And how can we have a healthier, happier, more prosperous life if we don't value the people in it? In China, they value and embrace the older individuals, their elders, in such a way because they know where wisdom comes from. We want to tuck and hide our elderly away and tell and dismiss them that they don't know what's going on. They don't know nothing about life. This is adverse. This is it has dire consequences when we do that. When life for some are so devalued and undervalued when compared with others, how can we go forward? How can we feel good about ourselves and who we are? Because we will want those same youth that somebody else said, they're crazy, this rock and roll, this disco, they're doing drugs, they ain't worth nothing. I'll tell you, again, the tide has turned. The billionaire now who runs Facebook, the young gentleman, 26 years old, I think he prefers wearing Gap clothes than a nice pair of cufflinks and a shirt. But he's a billionaire, I think, 26 times over. But that's a youth that somebody could have given up on years ago who now produced something that affects the entire world that now he can then give back and transform how we think. So how can we move forward when they're targeting our future in such a way to annihilate it or to eliminate it totally? What will you do, what will I do to stop this spilling of the blood in our streets? One thing for certain, we have to change the perception, Coach. See, perception for most people is reality. There was a show that Tyra Banks did several months back where she got a call from a college student who was being harassed by his classmate. And the guy was harassing in such a fashion, he would come in and say, oh, I see you N-words are here, you know, in the same room, I'm going to leave out. I see you N-words are doing the same thing again. Or you black people are stupid. Or are you? So this guy was very offended. So in most cases, hot-headed youth would have actually attacked those who were trying to oppress. But this gentleman called Tyra Banks, and they did an episode where they did three different scenarios and had a group of diverse people sit in the class and asked, what is your opinion when you saw Exhibit 1? And they all gave their ideas of what that image was. And they did it three times. And they discussed the image, and it was a gentleman, a white guy running behind a black guy. And they said, what do you think that is? Oh, I think the black guy stole something from him, or he harassed him or something. That was their perception. It wasn't the case. The white guy was chasing the black to give him back his wallet that he had dropped. But perception had it the other way around. When people are only seeing us popping and locking on TV, with our pants sagging down, with our young ladies more pregnant than not, when they hear about how we're not prospering in school, it gives a negative perception. So to see someone doing what you do, Coach, what others are doing to reach out to the community, you're not the standard. You're not the norm. In some situations, in some conditions, you're an anomaly. You care. Wait a minute. Y'all people care about each other? You want to help? We don't see that over here on this side of the track. When we look at TV, you guys are running. You got the chains hanging down. You're selling drugs. You're being arrested. Wow, we didn't know you have a family? You for real, you clean your house? Not from what we see on the news. Not from what we see in these spirited advertisement and movie programs. We just didn't know. So it's the perception that our kids are worthless. It's the perception that we have no value and we don't value ourselves and we don't have esteem for one another. It's not true. Coach, you opened up your doors to me. You opened up your forum and your platform to me. You have been a very gracious host. I have no other responsibility than to be a gracious and appreciative guest. Because, see, I'm in your house. I had to tell a friend of mine who I had to put out my house one day that, understand, you're a man in my house, but you can't be the man of my house. This is my domain. This is my dominion. And if I want to leave a back door open and a light on all night, that's my wish to do so. And you can't impose your wish and your will on me until you carry this burden, until you walk in these shoes. And so many of us don't realize that we have a position and we have to stay and play in our lane. But when someone affords you an opportunity to do more and be more, you got to take it in. You got to run with it, and you have to appreciate every ounce and every moment of it. Because, Coach, you didn't have to do this. And then, you know, some people turn the table and say, you know what, I helped you. You know, I mean, you helped me, but I helped you too. No. It doesn't work like that. That lets me know that that person is not appreciative of what's been afforded to them because they don't have the value system that I do. Their perception is skewed of what reality is. And we have to change it. Because today, if the gentleman at Pace University, somebody else's son, tomorrow it could be your nephew, your niece, my own son. The pain that that mother must be going through. The joy of the minors, but then the pain of this murder. We can't keep living in this duality. It is disruptive. It is disharmony at best. But now when we can't even be safe on the schoolyard, if nothing else, that was a safe haven. If nothing else, you went to school because you knew that you would be safeguarded against these same type of attacks. Just last October, another gentleman in Connecticut, I think was a football player as well, who got stabbed to death after a big game. So now, people, it is spilling out of urban America and it's coming right to your doorstep. Suburbia, rural, colleges and universities. I know when the other people will start making a big stink about this, when it starts happening on their golf courses, when it starts happening at their harbors where they keep those fancy boats, when it starts happening at their airplane hangar where they keep those G5s and G4s tucked away, I bet then we'll start having some action taking on the values and the lives of these young people. But right now it's being dismissed, and it's unfortunate. I discovered last night while listening to television evangelist Joel Osteen, he said that the greatest enemy to self-value and self-worth is rejection. He indicated that psychologists state that people place value about themselves in the most important persons in their lives. He said, the dads, the supervisors, your mom, your mates, whoever you idolize or believe is most important is where you place your value system, where you place your worth. My mom says I'm great. My dad, you know, he wasn't around. He abandoned me. I don't feel too good about myself. He said, but understand, in doing so, the dangerous part about that is that people are all human, and at some point they will disappoint you. Knowingly and unknowingly, they will say something that will make you feel less than who you really are. And it made me think. He gave me a key to some of the woes of life today. Some of those girls and boys who have been so valued and so precious, sweetheart, darling, son, you're great. Those people go on to lead the harmonica symphony down in Carnegie Hall. Those people go on to create Facebook. Those people go on to create iPods and iPads and the next braking system for a GM car. Then the other people who haven't been valued as much, they seem to struggle. They seem to lash out. Some find their footing, but only because of all the pain that they have gone through and had to endure, oftentimes at such a young age. Coach, you said something about how you still felt like a little girl inside of a grown woman's body because of things that happened to you as a child that resonates and that replays over and over again in your mind. See, the negative stuff sounds so much louder than today's reality. And as a human being, we can't sometimes push pause. Because every time we knew that we were turned down or rejected for a project or a process, each time we step up to the plate for a new one, we carry that rejection label internally. And where we're saying, hey, hire me. I'm the great guy for the job. We're saying, man, please hire me because, you know, my family has to eat or I will do a good job. You know, just let me in, please. We're not coming as confident and assertive because we don't have that value system, perceived or otherwise. And it's because of past hurts, disappointments, and rejections. See, it's hard for somebody to say, I didn't make it to the football team because they said I was too small, to think that, you know what, God made me just how I'm supposed to be. And tomorrow I'll one day own a team. It's hard to think that futuristic. It's hard to have that kind of faith and belief, especially if you have never seen it done in your life because if you're so contained like those miners in your everyday situation, you have not expanded. Your network and your nucleus is so small that you can't see the greater or bigger picture. And it's because you place value, you believe that whatever mom said about you was true, whatever that 13-year-old boy said about you was true. And you place value. He said he loved you today until he got that kiss. And then now he's at the locker trying to kiss somebody else. We have to have self-awareness. We have to have self-esteem. We have to have self-value and understand our self-worth. But it's the rejection that is the worst part of it. It is the enemy of those two factors, value and worth. And we have to talk to that enemy, to that mountain, and let them know you are no longer welcome here. And so many of the hurts and the teachings and disappointments of children are playing out in our everyday society. Maybe that officer wouldn't have drew his gun had he not feared that black child. But we're so quick to pull the gun as opposed to extend a hand. Why is that? Because, see, the officer wants to ensure that he makes it home to see his family that night where now a family has been distraught. A family structure has been disrupted. There's a son who won't make it to Thanksgiving. There's a friend who sat next to him who won't be able to laugh and share his dreams again. Because we're not placing value in the right place. People, understand, value is based, again, on the owner. And I'm glad to say that I am one of the original creations of the Most High God. I know where my blessings come from. I know who I am. I understand my value and my worth. See, when I didn't understand that, I drove a car without a seatbelt. When I didn't understand that, I would drive and I knew I hadn't slept for 18 hours. When I didn't understand that, I would try to have relations with multiple people at multiple times because I didn't realize I was a rare commodity. I was a young gentleman who didn't have any kids, who wasn't on drugs, who wasn't in jail, who was, you know, doing things on a positive level. But I was lazy and lethargic. I wasn't about my business, but I talked a good game at one point in time. But when I realized that I was a commodity, I talked less and did more. I showed and proved. I didn't fall for the okey-doke anymore. I became a living example. I wanted to be success in example. I wanted people to inquire. That guy is always on the move. Look how he's doing things. Look at, he's effective. Wait a minute. People, when he walked in, everybody hushed because they want to hear what he had to say. Who is that guy? See, people, they follow success. They don't follow lazy, lethargic, going nowhere, people who have no self-worth, no self-value, no self-esteem. They just don't. But I think if we reach back and find out where that person had despair, we can then be more harmonious and have that healthy, happy, and prosperous life. Today, we're going to witness, for those who watch Oprah Winfrey, for those who are interested, concerned, or familiar with Tyler Perry, we're going to witness the breaking down and the unveiling of a man today. He's going to discuss some past hurts and some situations that we don't even know about, but that many of us have lived through. Not only was he homeless, not only did I think he was abused by his stepfather or someone in it, but there's a whole other segment that we didn't know about. The sexual abuse by men and women towards this man. And I'm like, wow, maybe that's why he's so creative, because he's acting out all these roles. Because when you're violated and when you're made to hide it, you have to build characters in your mind. You have to placate it a different way. You have to say, oh, no, no, my husband didn't hit me in my eye. That was the door. Oh, no, no, mama, I'm okay. You know, I just want to wear big clothes. But you're a teenage who is pregnant. When someone wants to come by your house and you know your mom or dad is an alcoholic, oh, no, no, let's go to your house. My mom sleeps, you know, she works so hard. We have to become this other individual. We have to create these characters in our mind. But he's going to discuss the elephant in the room, some of the woes that are placating and plaguing our families and our neighborhoods today. I'm ignorant because I thought these things no longer occurred. One, they didn't occur in my house and they didn't occur in my current home today. So I thought they no longer occurred. I didn't know that we people are still hate mongers towards homosexuals because I'm not. I embrace them. They're human beings. I didn't know people felt that my children were throwaways or they had a perception because of a rap video that my kids can enunciate and articulate. I didn't think that was the case. But it is the case, and it's on our doorsteps. And it's up to us, Coach, to change it. It's up to our listeners to do better, to hold the door for someone, to speak to someone, to be gracious and courteous, no matter what station and what level they are in life. We have to do better. We can't keep applauding the efforts in Hades and then we're hating on our neighbors right here at home. We have to do better. And I pray that, again, people are hearing the passion and urgency in my voice. They're understanding where I'm coming from because I'm a man who's on a mission, who have a lot of family members that I would like to enlighten and to educate, who I'm meeting people who I'm embracing and calling my family because they're enlightening and educating me. I'm encouraged and inspired by you, Coach, the listeners, our friends, our associates. And it's making me, it's enabling me, it's allowing me to live my greatest dreams. Unfortunately for me, I felt when I got my businesses 4 or 5 years ago that I was, you know, I stopped dreaming. I've acquired what I wanted. But no, I had to put up my dream board again. Had to raise it up high because there's new items to add to the dream board because I'm no longer dreaming for Versi. I'm dreaming for my family and the rest of the world.
Can you believe it? I mean, we're going to have to go to an hour and a half. That's all there is. Especially on Wednesday.
Oh, you're putting pressure on me, Coach. You're putting pressure on me. I'm going to shut up.
Oh, no, no. can you believe it? Like 8 seconds left of the show.
But, oh, wow. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. That's sharing some powerful stuff. So I know we don't want to wait all the way till, you know, next week. So please, Mr. Walker, if you have any time tomorrow, come back tomorrow. So you put your finger there in your place right there, or put a line, a star or something, so that you can come and finish and share some more, because, I mean, you were on a roll.
I tell you now, I'm here for you. I'm here for you.
And that was just awesome, awesome, great. And I'm definitely going to, you know, try to reach out to you later. I do have training, but I thank everybody, because the people in the chat room, they won't be able to hear an absolute thing, because as soon as we stop streaming, then they stop hearing.
Right.
But
okay.
Yes, Coach K is sending blessings to you. And Mr. Paul said, great topic today. Ms. Kiva and others in the chat room. Mr. Q Bonita is glad he has his computer back. He's not been on a few days. And so it's just been, we've been chatting it up in the chat room.
Okay.
But thank you, those of you on the switchboard. Awesome, awesome. So glad you could stay with us for the entire show. Definitely connect with us back tomorrow, when we will be talking about one of your favorite subjects, Mr. Walker, the secrets to sales success.
You know what? Hey, I got to get on now.
You know you got to get on, so you can start
okay.
out and you can share some things, and you know, you can help me bring that topic to light, so we can help people increase their profits and their prosperity, and provide for their customers that are out there waiting for
Excellent.
Them.
Excellent.
Okay, great. Everybody, thank you again. Everybody, have an awesome, awesome day. I lost my switchboard here, so you know what? We won't have the closing song today. But this has been Mr. Vershi Walker and Ms. Coach LaLisa right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we'll see you back tomorrow. Have a great
thank you,
powerful day. Yes, expect the greatness. Oh, my God. Look for it. Don't look for the negativity. Get away from it. And please share with us the breakthroughs that you are experiencing each and every day. We love you all. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.